Not going to be a typical Bible-believing message, that's for sure. In fact, you won't hear too many Bible believers hit on this subject. I'm going to talk about being polite and courteous. So here we go. 1 Peter chapter 3. A lot of times Bible believers and patriots also shoot themselves in their own foot by their conduct. And you can still get a lot more done. You draw more flies if you use honey rather than salt. And there's something to that. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. The first seven verses dealing with the husband-wife relationship and politeness and courtesy and consideration. Very important for a happy marriage. That's 1 through 7. Verse 8. Finally, be of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. And that's pretty straight, isn't it? Now, the Greek actually means you should be obnoxious whenever you feel like it. Be courteous, that's what it says. Be courteous. Okay, and then it says, not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good, let him seek peace and sue it, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? But if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. Be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better if the will of God be so that you suffer for well doing than for evil doing. Okay, let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I pray you'd help us to realize that we are to know the truth, we are to know the law, we are to be firm in our convictions, but yet we are to be polite to folks, be courteous, and we're trying to win people to Christ, win people to truth, rather than to get a notch in our gun. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to be faithful to your task and help us to be true and lawful and right, but yet also help us to be considerate of others. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, the context you'll see in 14, 15, and 16, it appears this guy is dealing with a courtroom setting. And that is actually what it is. Doctrinally, this is aimed at Gentiles of the tribulation who are scattered throughout the world, and they will be brought into a courtroom setting of the world court, United Nations and company, and they will be charged certain crimes, and these people will defend themselves. Now, they are given a promise in Luke 12 that they don't have to worry about what they're going to say. They don't have to study. They don't got time in a tribulation to study. And Luke 12, verse 10, 11 says that all they have to do is rely on God, and God will speak through them in the court proceedings. You and I don't have that blessing. We better study. Now, notice in here, it's talking about being courteous and polite, and of course, they're dealing with people in positions of authority, often de facto or color of law, but even at that, they're in those positions of authority. They think they have the authority. So how do we behave ourselves? One of the things that I really appreciate about Gene is how he behaves himself, his conduct. He's very adamant about the truth, but yet he's very polite about getting the truth across. Now, there's a difference in our Bible between personal work and preaching. Look, if you would, in 2 Timothy chapter 2. A lot of times, when people hear a Bible believer preach properly, They think that that's how he conducts his life in his personal affairs also. They think that if a Bible believer comes to their house, he's going to stand on their coffee table and point his finger at them and preach hellfire and damnation at them. Personal works much different. 2 Timothy 2:24, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. Verse 24, the idea there is to win a convert rather than get a kill. You know, especially dealing with a public official of some type. Win a convert. Be gentle with them at first, very meek with them, ask them very gentle questions. Get them to realize their unlawful behavior. Win them over, shall we say, kill them with kindness. That's the best route to start in all cases, personal works like that. Now, the other side of the coin, 2 Timothy 4:2, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. That's a chewing out. That's a bawling out. That's calling names at times. That's public preaching. Public preaching is different than personal work or one-on-one, especially if you're by yourself. You best be very careful. Now, have a tape recorder of some type. But a Bible believer and patriots, they like to depict themselves as we're tough and rough and we're crude and we're rude. And that's how they think that, you know, that's part of manhood. Well, manhood, a man is to be tough and rough. He's to endure hardness, but he can also be gentle. He can be gentle with folks and ask very simple questions and get his point across. Now, remember in the Old Testament, you have a couple people that were taken captives. Captives of war, they were subjects to another nation. One was a woman named Esther. The other was Daniel. Now it says that both of these people, different situations, they were brought in tender favor with their authority. Now in Esther's case, Esther chapter 2 kind of goes through the details. And if you remember the story, the king got rid of his wife because she didn't listen to him, and so he tried to pass laws that women had to submit to the men and all that stuff. And so he dumped her, and so they're going to look for a new wife for the king, and so they want to get all the virgins in the country. And so they brought all the virgins in, you know, put them in this little place, and they were going to check them out. It was going to take quite a process, and Esther was one of the girls. But in this process, each of the girls got to keep... They were able to keep what they, shall we say, wore. When they presented themselves in front of the king, they got to keep the jewelry, they got to keep the outfit, they got to keep everything. Don't you know they decked themselves out? Man, get all you can get. Do all you can do. Fight, scratch, claw. When you get a bunch of women crammed in a place, you'll see what they're like. Women are more ruthless on women than men are. In office settings, you ask that. You ask them. Well, they get them in. Now, Esther, do you think Esther would have been brought into the tender favor of her authority if she said, I want you, give me that, I want you, you know, demanding everything? No, she obviously was courteous, considerate, polite, yielded to him. And this guy said, man, this is refreshing. Not the norm here. Daniel the same way. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. And that is our lawful reason for anything is because I don't want to defile my conscience. And Peter, we read that, 2 Peter 3:16, about a good conscience in Christ. Why do we do these things? Because I want to have a good conscience. Be lawful because I have a good conscience. Well, do you think Daniel would have gotten that favor if he demanded certain things? And when he did make the appeal to Melzar, he looked at it from Melzar's perspective. knowing that if Daniel and them got caught not following the king's diet, Melzar gets a a new form of Jenny Craig diet, cut 20 pounds of ugly fat from here up, cut that off. So Daniel, he was very considerate. He thought of Melzar, and it says that he had brought in tender favor. The idea is that we can still get accomplished. We don't have to compromise anything. And we can be polite through the process. And we can be courteous of others. And we can still get what we need to get done. And in essence, keep the door open so we can go back and witness to somebody. How do we do these things? Thoughts of courtesy, politeness, kindness, very important, needs to be taught in the home. Tenderness, consideration of others. 1 Peter 3, verse 7 says that the husband treats his wife because she's the weaker vessel. Tenderness, consideration. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying if you use these methods that it's gonna work in every situation. We got some real idiots out there, and they ain't going to do nothing that's going to change their minds. And that's where you got to stand your ground. But in many cases, you're going to get a lot more accomplished when you go to a place and you're very polite. You say, yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, thank you, please. Would you help me out? Boy, thank you for your time. Boy, I really appreciate this. You've been so helpful. There's nothing wrong with doing stuff like that. It's funny, yesterday it goes into jail, going on the one side, and there's a guy on the other side just making a racket. I mean, this guy all by himself is just deafening loud. I couldn't even talk to the guys on one side because this guy was so loud making an issue on the other side. So my curiosity just got the best of me. I had to go see who was making all this racket. So I go on this side, go on the other side, and here this guy is. Now, you got to... This jail, Jasper County Jail, has got two man cells, and the beds are steel, just thin plate steel, welded right into the side of the wall, and they give him a little mattress like that to sleep on. And this guy was standing there holding a top bunk, and he was boom, 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 beating that thing, and it would just shake that whole side. And I mean, you couldn't even think. And these guys had to live with that. I said, I was laughing at these guys. I said, man, I bet that's kind of hard to sleep with that guy going on. So I walk over there, and I'm just standing there looking at it. That guy's, and then he looked at me, and I'm just looking at him. And he goes, he stopped, kind of embarrassed because somebody was watching him. He goes, I'm just a little frustrated. I said, yeah, I can tell. And I'm smiling and enjoying it myself. I said, anything I can do for you? And he said, no, I've just reached the bottom. I said, well, let me give you something you could read. I gave him a couple of tracts. And I had a book by Richard Wurmbrand, who spent 17 years in jail in Romania. I said, you read this when you get a chance. Of course, you got the chance now. But I said, you'll find out somebody's got it worse off than you do. And that's about all I could do for him at the time. And he never beat on the wall after that again. I got a big chuckle out of it. But don't you know them other guys, the other side of the bars, they were yelling, cut it out, you idiot, you're driving us nuts. That ain't going to stop them. Just look at it. It was really kind of comical. I almost started laughing in the whole situation. But how can we show courtesy, politeness, kindness? Okay, number one, speak good words. Look, if you would, in Colossians chapter 4. Speak good words. Gracious words. These are very important to witness to your family. Gracious words. Now, I understand Romans 16 says that wicked men use good words and fair speeches to deceive the hearts of the simple. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about we can use very chosen words, gracious words, words of appeal to try to get people to realize their wrong position. Colossians 4, verse 3, he says, with all praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace. Graciousness. God is a gracious God. Let it always be with grace. And then, comma, season with salt. There's times you got to get salty with people. Depends on the person, depends on the situation. That you know how you ought to answer every man. I do believe we ought to pray for the right word at the right time to the right person with the right spirit, and you'll be surprised how you handle things. Speak good words. Now, I'm not saying this is going to work every time. And some having compassion making a difference. But yet, in Luke chapter 4, verse 23, it mentions that the people were astonished with the gracious words from Jesus, and it wasn't 6 verses later, they want to throw him over a cliff. It depends on the person. But the idea is often you got to be very gentle with people. Very meek. There's a fella in jail yesterday. I've been trying to kind of talk to this guy, but I can tell he don't want to talk to me because he knows I'm a straight shooter about things, Bible believer. Well, we got talking about some stuff, about some law stuff, and he caught his interest. So we got, I use that to switch it to the real law. And he got telling me I'm a druid. I said, okay. And I said, what's that? And he said, well, that's a pagan religion. Yeah, you're right there. I agree with that one. And it's older in Christianity. It's older in Judaism. I said, okay, how far back does it go? Oh, and he named some time. I said, well, it's got to be after the flood. Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's back there. And so we, you know, I tried to get the thing talking to him about it. Now, I could have easily just said, hey, pal, you're going to hell and don't you know it? Oh, he didn't believe in hell. Oh, okay. Well, so I know he's captive audience, so I got a lot of chances with this character. So I'm just going to try to, you know, it's a meek time, quiet time. Now, we'll be putting a barrel down on him, and the further we get going in this thing, depending on his attitude. But most of your witnessing opportunities will be a gentle, personal, very courteous, very meek, especially when you're on somebody else's property. Most of it. Now, there's times you got to give a salty testimony. Let the Lord lead on those things. Now, patriots, you know, we're a lot of times people who know the law, who are trying to get the country back to the constitutional issues, often get a thought in their head, and they're going to be a big, bold stand for, you know, God and country. And several years ago, I was in Pick and Save trying to get some, you know, get some groceries or something. And there's a guy in front of me. He's getting some groceries. He's going to write a check. So he writes a check, and the teller there, not teller, cashier lady, whatever they call them, she says, may I see your driver's license and have your Social Security number? Oh, he knows it's not lawful for her to have a Social Security number. He knows that, boy, and she ain't going to get it. So he's going to make his big, bold stand for patriotism. Here we go. It's just a woman behind the counter. She don't know what she's doing. She's just doing what she's told. I ain't giving you my Social Security number, he says. I'm thinking, oh, this is going to be interesting. She goes like this. Now she's kind of panicking. This guy's getting mad at me. Well, it's just the policy of our store. Well, it ain't none of your business to have my Social Security number. Well, then I can't. And she's kind of getting all scared now. And so then he realized he got his point across, and then he starts backpedaling. Well, I'm sorry for getting mad at you, blah, 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 blah. But I'll let you know I'll never shop in here again. And he walks out. Now, it is true. It is none of their business to have your Social Security number. You want a good way to steal your identity? Publish that everywhere. You don't have to publish it. They'll get it. It's personal. It's private. None of their business. Well, we have a case like that, so we handle it a little bit different. But when I get up to the woman, I just looked at her and smiled. She's kind of recovering from this. I said, well, he is right. And he is right. But isn't there a different way to do it? Well, example. Brent mows lawns, well, if you know that, 40, 45 lawns, mostly individuals, mostly elderly folks, a lot of them. One of them was a business. So early this year, he goes back, try to see the repeat customers to come back. And this business doesn't want to hire him again. Why? Well, see, last December, when come time for them to do their taxes, he didn't have a Social Security number. They called up and said, we'd like his Social Security number. They ask him. They can ask him all he wants. He don't know what it is. That was my mistake when he was born. And I've got the thing hid. They don't know what it is. So they can honestly say, I don't know what it is. I know I got one. Well, then I get on the phone, and we need a Social Security number. And I said, I'm sorry, that's not available. Very polite with them. And then, well, we have to have that. I said, well, no, it's my understanding you are required to ask. And you have asked, and we're not giving it to you. And I'll be glad to fill out an affidavit for your sake so that you can give it to your accountant that proves that you have asked, but it's not available. Well, we're going to get fined $50. No, no, you're not going to get fined about it. The max you could get fined is $50, but you have asked, and I'll be glad to give you an affidavit so that you protect yourself. Well, she knew she weren't getting anywhere with me. Well, okay, come March, he goes back to these people, and the man in charge, nice man, he mows his lawn at his house, and the man said, Brett, we like your work. You're dependable. We appreciate everything you've done. We're very happy with your work, but we can't hire you because of your Social Security number. So he comes home, upset about it, and I said, great opportunity. Let's go back and talk to him. He's hesitant about it because he didn't know how Dad was going to be. So I get the Privacy Act, got a copy of it, copy of another couple notices, go back to this gentleman, and set up the situation. Make sure you set it up just the way it's supposed to be set up. And I said, I understand you appreciate Brent's work. Oh, man, great. I said, and you like the price? Everything's great. It's just everything's just perfect. We just love it. But it's just that Social Security causes problem. I said, so you're saying to me the only reason you're not hiring him is because the Social Security number is not available. Yeah. Warrant for $1,000 fine. Just like that. Got a witness. But he's a man in town. Do we want to do that? Testimony's sake. So I just said to him, I said, now, if you don't want to hire him because you don't like his work, or if you got somebody else in mind, that's your right as an owner. If you don't like the color of his skin, that's your right as an owner. But because you just told me you can't hire him because of the Social Security thing, I said, I don't know if you realize this, but there's a law that states, and I don't think you want to be unlawful. Oh, no, we don't want to do that. I said, well, here's something that you can copy and you can read at your leisure. And I said, because you told me that you will not hire him because of the Social Security number, you're in violation of the Privacy Act. And we can take you to court and you would be charged a $1,000 fine because you are being unlawful. I said, I don't know if we want to do that. And I don't think you want to be unlawful. Oh, no, we don't want to do that. And then he mentioned the military. He said, you know, I remember reading this Privacy Act when I was in the military. I said, oh, if you were in the military, you know that if a soldier doesn't have a Social Security number, they just assign him a number. He said, yeah, that's right. I remember that. I said, okay, now here's the privacy. He said, well, I'd like to read that. I'd like to look it over. He said, give me about a week, and then I'd come up with a decision. I said, oh, that's fine. That's great. I said, who's the one that makes the decision? He said, well, I make the decision. I said, okay, that's wonderful. We get a call about a week later. He said, well, we'd like Brent to submit a bid and give us an insurance thing. What did it tell me? he's going to try to be lawful. Now, Brent didn't take the job because he was too cheap, didn't want to buy insurance. But you see, now I can go to that man's house, knock on his door, and witness to him about Jesus Christ, and he doesn't think I'm an obnoxious jerk. We stood our ground, we were lawful, did what we were supposed to do, polite about it, the door is left open so we can witness to that man. Good words, fair speeches, they use it for to deceive the hearts of the simple. We want to use it so that we can win them to Christ. Witnessing to family is often like that. You see, you have to expect people to distrust you. You know, I was amazed. I drove a bus route up in Chicago. It blew my mind that these people in Chicago would allow a stranger to bring their children to a church 45 minutes away. I couldn't believe that. Over my dead body, if you take mine 5 minutes away. But they did it all the time. I expect people to distrust me. If they are not suspicious of me, I am suspicious of them. Anybody knocking on your door, you don't know who they are, you ought to be suspicious of them. And when you're out knocking on doors or out in public trying to witness to people about Jesus Christ, don't expect them to believe everything you say. And we have to be very patient with people. What took you years to learn, often in some ways, in order to learn to put it out in a very simple fashion, you're trying to expect them to get it in 5 minutes? The idea is that we need to be patient with people and we speak good words. And the second thing, we need to show good works. Look at Matthew chapter 5. We need to show good works. Matthew 5, verse 16. Matthew 5:16, it says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Now notice, it doesn't say, "Let your good works so shine before men so that they might ask you about the light." That's how most Christians like to interpret that. Because they're afraid to witness for Jesus Christ, so they want to be nice and kind like Mr. Rogers and help everybody. And then they're going to see my love for them and my love for Jesus, and they're going to ask me about what makes me so different. Well, probably because you got a plaid shirt and striped pants. I don't know, high waters. No, we're supposed to let our light shine. Our light who? Jesus Christ, the light of the world, and the light of the Word of God. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and light on my path. Now, when we let our light shine, what does that do? That automatically sets us up as an example to them. Now they are going to watch us like a hawk. Is this guy sincere? Is this guy for real? He's told me about Jesus Christ. He's told me about the Bible. Let's check this feller out and see what he's really like. And that's where good works come in play. Titus 2:15 says that we are to be zealous of good works. Zealous of good works. What does that mean? That means we got to be able to sacrifice our time for somebody else's betterment. A lot of times people don't know what love's all about. They think love is an ooey, gooey, gushy type emotional thing. Love is giving. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Love is giving of your time for somebody else's desires. That's what it's taking your time to help somebody else out. Romans 12, verse 10, it says, "In honor, preferring one another." Analyze your conversations with people. Do you do most of the talking? A lot of times, it's not what you say to people, it's that you sit there and listen to them. They have a burden, they have something on their heart they want to give out. Okay, we need to listen to them. And then we're done, they need to listen to you and tell them about the solution to that. But serving each other, helping each other out. Example, Brent and I play softball team. Last year at our play, we got to get one of the umpires to come. The guy that runs the league, he came. I won him to the Lord about 3-4 years ago. And so we invited one of the umpires to come. Now, who likes umpires? Nobody likes umpires. An umpire referee is a beautiful illustration of a Christian. It's marvelous. They go by one authority. Everybody's against them. And they have to agree with their partner as one. And they got to follow the one rule book, no matter what anybody says. Beautiful illustration of a Christian. When we run our men's basketball league, boy, is it hard getting men to ref. They despise ref. They don't know what the Christian life's all about. You want to try to not revile back when somebody reviles you on a call? Oh, boy, that's tough. It's a great illustration of the Christian life. Okay, but how is this umpire? What are we like in the field? Do you think that umpire would have came at our invitation if we would have been griping at him on the field? Doubt it. And then when it come time for the invitation, Brent went and witnessed to him and he got saved. Do you think that he would have listened if we would have been jerks on the ball field? Not on your life. His soul is more important than our game. Much more important. There's a new ump down there. And he's been umping up north, used to the yelling and screaming. And down there, boy, they don't put up with anything. The man in charge runs a good program. And one time this new ump made a call that was a bang-bang call. I agreed with him in my heart. It was against my team. Next time I ran out on the field, I just said, Chris, that was a good call. And he didn't respond. No response at all. And I'm sitting on the outside. I bet you he thought I was smarting off. So when I got done with the inning, I ran by him again, and I said, I was sincere about that. He said, I was wondering about that. He said, I thought you were, but I wasn't sure. He said, thank you very much. See, that's good works. His soul is much more important than anything. And even if he's wrong, what difference is it going to make? He ain't going to change anything. You're just going to hurt your friendship. We can speak politely to people. Monday I went into the courthouse. I was wanting to study a little bit about abstracts. I didn't know how to do it. Lady's in there. I said, where do I search for abstracts? She says, well, right here in the courthouse. I said, would you please show me how to do it? And she took 5 minutes of her time. Very graciously showed me exact procedures. Boy, that was helpful. I thanked her. Now, a lot of them people in there, they're just as snotty as anything else. But if we just look and say, something wrong today? Boy, you just don't seem to be a good public servant. Good works. Good works. There's nothing sinful about showing good works. It doesn't hurt our testimony. In fact, it enhances our testimony. Speak good works, words, show good works. And last thing, look in Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. Again, I'm just showing examples, and of course my examples thus far have been on the good side. Oh, I can tell you times when I've been polite to people and they've been jerks, just like we probably all experienced. Well, what do you do with that? You just kind of meet fire with fire at times, depending on how the Lord would lead. Yeah, you're coming out of O'Hare Airport when you try to pay the thing for your parking thing. Annoys the fire out of me. They've got a camera there where they read your license plate. You're trying to pay them, and they're sitting there looking at your license plate. Bunch of nosy people. None of their business. When I was up there with the Jeep, it had that paper plate on there. And this person, I'm trying to hand them the money, and they're trying to look at the plate. And they're looking at this camera, and I'm trying to hand them the money. I can't see your plate. I said, so? What kind of car is that? I said, it's a Cadillac. I had my Jeep. just annoying type people. And so since she was kind of barking back, I said, how much? She said, three. I said, three what? Pennies? Sometimes you got to get these people attention, but in most cases you can be very gentle with people and still get accomplished. But I'm saying each time weigh it out and ask the Lord to guide you. Ask the Lord to guide you in these things. Titus 2 verse 9. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again. Employee, same definition as servant. Not answering again. Not smart aleck. He's the boss. He pays the bills. If he wants it done this way, even if it's going to make him lose money, do it his way. Not answer again. Exhort, not purloining. Another word for theft. Some of the biggest thieves are employees. Many of the stores automatically jack up the price 10% just to cover the loss for shoplifting. They punish the honest people rather than the thief. They need to catch the thief and punish them. Purloining. But showing all good fidelity that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. Fidelity is a careful, exact, and honest performance of service. Boy, that's hard to find. But when a boss has somebody like this, they can win him by their work ethic habits. They can win them strictly in that fashion. All showing all good fidelity. It's being conscientious, a hard and honest worker. Hard to find nowadays. Very difficult to find. Several years ago, when they used to detouse the corn in this way, they can't get it, do it this way anymore. I was probably, young 20s. And way they did it back then is we'd hire out our own crews, and then they'd give you, then you'd sign up for so many acres. And so I had a bunch of kids from the school here, from the Christian school. Had about 18 to 20 of them, a couple from Hiles Anderson. This is when I was at Hiles Anderson. And we had a pretty good crew. We had some good kids. Said some kids that listened, did what they're supposed to. They obeyed. You know, I paid them well when they worked hard. When we got all said and done with this thing, the guy who's actually the one between the company and the subcontractor, I don't know what they call a manager of Pioneer. I don't know what it was. He was really impressed with our group. So when we got done, we're out. You know, I had him on this bus, and he's outside, and basically it's our last day. And so I witnessed to him. I showed him how to get saved, and he got saved right on the spot. And I asked him, I said, "Would you come on the bus and tell these fellas what you just did?" He said, "I'd be glad to do that." And he comes and gets on the bus, and he tells the boys, and I think I had a couple girls too. He told them, he said, "You guys were really, you people were really hard workers. I was very impressed. And so I want to thank you for your hard work." And he said, "I just want to let you know that I just asked Jesus Christ to save me." And everybody's kind of smiling, or hoot and holler on the bus, happy. Now, do you think that guy would listen to us if we were a bunch of bums? Now, he noticed the good work ethic. The Bible teaches good work ethics. And we ought to be hard workers. And it's very difficult to find nowadays. Very conscientious, working hard, fidelity. You see, the souls of men are at stake. And a lot of times, it's what we do in our everyday activity is what's going to be our witness. How we conduct ourselves. It's much better to get a convert than to get a kill. Because you get a convert on your side, they get more fired up than anything. You want to find somebody who exposes the lies and hypocrisies of the Catholic Church? Win a convert, Catholic convert. Man, they will get fired up because they realize, man, I've been duped for all these years. They get fired up. The same thing goes in every realm of life. You see, a Bible believer can be firm of conviction, but he could also be polite throughout the process. By our conduct. We aren't worried about offending people about the truth, but we should be bothered about being offended people because of our conduct. Okay, we'll just stop there and let's pray. Lord, I do pray you'd help us to be faithful to you. I pray you'd help us to be honest. Help us to be courageous.